This is Jaguars This Week. With a voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, good evening and welcome to a very busy Jaguars This Week. I mean, Loggy and I have been sitting here working on a list of topics, and it is long, it is interesting. It's on the field, it's off the field, it's even in the radio booth. So with that, welcome to Jeff Lugeman, the only other member of our team who is here this evening. Loggy, how are you?
Good. Couldn't be better.
Got a lot to talk about. Joe.
Hi, Brian Sexton.
You're here also.
Oh, hi, wait. Jeff Lugeman.
You leave that mic on all the time.
No,
and you just pull it down to talk.
No.
You just did it.
He's fast with the buttons.
All right.
Very fast.
All right. So, do you want to make the announcement? I mean...
Yeah, he's the producer, Jaguars Radio. Come on, Joe.
Make it.
All right, radio guy.
Do you have the press release?
Breaking news. Right.
Do you have a drum?
I have the press release? Let me see if I got the press release.
I got one here if you need to borrow it.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Oh, some producer.
There you go. Right there it is, Joey. Tell everybody what's happening.
All right. Starting with this football season, which would be, I guess, the beginning of August. That's still iffy.
All right,
because,
come on. Give it a little bit of oomph,
because
Joe. You're a radio guy.
Our flagship station, WOKV, is now
104.5.
104.5.
100,000 watts.
Flamethrower.
Class C FM. Baby.
In stereo. Stereo now. So we're going to be broadcasting in stereo.
According to the press release,
that's what
all
it says.
Radio
so we're not broadcasting
in
stereo right now.
No, it's the line that goes from here to there isn't stereo. So
but
even,
we're going to get
if
it.
I went left and right, nobody would
but
would
that's
hear
not
it.
The news.
No, that's not the news. We're doing some changes. And change is good. It's been said. From higher ups.
Come on, let's hear it.
You ready?
Give it to me. Stop the suspense.
All righty. In season, Jaguars Monday will be Jaguars Monday. That's the name of the program. Now, Jaguars Monday will consist of your host, Brian Sexton.
That's me.
The effervescent Tony Boselli, who I'll get on the phone soon, and the one and only Pete Prisco.
Petey.
From CBSSportsLine.com.
Yeah. Yeah, for 2 hours,
great.
6 to 8. That's your Monday. That's Jaguars Monday, folks, in season. Jaguars Monday, Brian Sexton with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco.
Do you think that has the possibility to be an antagonistic show?
I'm hoping.
Let's go.
Two pretty strong personalities in that room you're going to have to deal with.
Well, and I'm no wallflower myself, so it should be fun.
Now, I want you to let that sink in, folks, because it's good stuff. But if you really like that, trust me, no offense to Pete, it gets better.
Okay.
We will be off on Tuesday. We will be off on Wednesday. I just said that. We will be off on Wednesday.
Which means the Jaguars this week will end its run.
How many years,
BS?
15. 15 years. Jaguars this week, we'll have our last show around the end of July, yeah. Middle of July. No more
and it'll
Wednesday
be a big
programming.
One.
And it'll be a big show. We'll have a good time. We appreciate all of our faithful listeners for Jaguars this week. It's been a great run. It's a lot of fun. Time to change. Time to move on.
Here we go. So Jaguars this week, no more.
Starting in?
Right around training camp, I would guess. But
okay.
We haven't been told.
Okay.
Now, Thursday night, we have Jaguars Monday. We will have Jaguars Thursday. Jaguars Thursday, another two-hour program. The first half will be the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton hosts, as he always did, with the coach. Gus is there, too. And Jeff Lockerman.
That'd be me.
That'd be you.
That'd be
team.
Me.
How cool is that?
I'm looking forward to it.
I am, too.
That's the first hour of the show. It's on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Here's why I'm looking forward to it. I could always interview the coach and do it from a here's-what-we-saw-on-Sunday perspective.
Exactly.
Loggy will have watched the previous game and the next opponent.
Oh, yeah.
So it will become much more of an X's and O's football
show. This is going to be a good football show.
It's going to be
and believe it or not,
show.
He was a player once, so he'll have that aspect.
In many ways.
I saw some football sign to prove it.
P-L-A-Y-A. That's right. All right.
That's the first hour.
But it's a two-hour program. Jaguars Thursday is 2 hours. Hour number two, the coach will leave, and we will continue locally from 7 to 8 right here on WOKV 104.5 in stereo. Brian Sexton will still be the host. Jeff Lugeman will still be here. We will bring in the effervescent Tony Boselli, who I still will get on the phone shortly so we can talk to him.
He's texting me saying, are you guys calling?
But we have one more addition. No, it's not Pete Prisco.
We've got another head coach.
How about, yeah, we do have another head coach.
Yeah.
How about number 8 on your scorecard? Mark Burnell will be in studio every Thursday evening. So you got Sexton,
the current head coach,
Lagerman,
of
Baselli, and Mark Burnell, Episcopal High School.
That's exactly
how cool
right.
is that?
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That is one heck of a show.
It's a good lineup.
I'm outnumbered, though. You know, one defensive guy and two offensive guys. You know, Brian, I got to convert you to linebacker.
It's been a long time, but I was a nose guard at one point. Long, long, long time ago. I'm on your side. It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
But it doesn't end there.
Then, of course, we have Sunday. There are things going on
it's
Sunday.
Usually a game.
Now, we had Jaguars Monday, Jaguars Thursday. This is Jaguars game day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to rattle off names that you're going to hear during Jaguars game day, okay? It will begin 3 hours prior to kickoff and end 2 hours after kickoff.
All right, you got to call Baselli.
I will. You ready?
He's running out of time.
J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, Jeremy Ratliff, Marco Coleman, Pete Prisco, Brent Martineau. Who am I missing?
I think you got them all.
That's it.
J.P. Shadrick will be hosting the first couple hours.
First couple hours.
Tony Baselli will now join me and Brian in the booth. It will be a three-man booth.
I think it's the only three-man booth in the league.
And I hope some of the teams in the league will expand the press box broadcast booth a little bit because Baselli's large.
And his head.
Call him.
Hey, BS.
Yes.
Try to get a word in now edgewise during the game. Okay?
Well, yeah. It's going to be
interesting. Remember. Let me get him on the phone.
Yeah, get him on the phone.
You do that.
Get him on the phone. I mean, Baselli's a guy. If I go back to Stevens Point, Wisconsin, it was the featured matchup. You're the veteran, the high-dollar free agent. You come in, and you're working with the first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch you two square off on the practice field every day, I've got a vivid memory. Of course, we had to stand behind the fence back then. But I have a very vivid memory of watching you two guys
you
square off.
You stood in
off.
The penalty box.
Yeah.
That was Tom Coughlin's penalty box.
Well, one of the penalty boxes was actually behind the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember leaning on the fence and watching you two guys square off. And so the last year you guys have worked in here, and now you're going to work on Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be nice because, you know, I've always said this and that the offensive linemen and defensive linemen are always the superior intelligence.
I do remember you saying that. I think it starts with the defensive lineman, though.
Yeah, but it'll be nice because you're going to have a real nice perspective of the game of football from two big guys, and I think it's going to be wonderful, and I look forward to it. And it will be nice to have an offensive guy and an offensive lineman's perspective and a defensive lineman's perspective. So looking forward to it. And
he's ready.
Mr. Baselli joins us now.
Yes.
All right. So here's Tony. Hey, Tony. First of all, officially welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be with you guys. Looking forward to a good time and a lot of fun.
Tony, hang on a second. I gotta say this. You realize Brian does have to call the game, okay?
I did not put him up to that, Baselli.
He has to call the game.
Well, he's going to have to be quick because Jeff and I have a lot to say.
Well, it's a good thing that Maurice was saying that there's a whole lot more speed on the team this year than isn't there.
Well, you're going to have to be fast because we have a lot more important things to say than you do.
Oh, man.
Now, see, it's starting already. I love it. It's going to be a fun broadcast.
And the thing that I'm worried about most, Tony, is the road games, the dinner bill the night before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Now, I'll just tell you one thing in advance, so you can just say your expectations right. I'm not paying for dinner because I will not be classified as a rookie.
Yes, you are.
No.
In the booth, you are a rookie, and the first year you are responsible for taking care of the meal.
You'll also have to carry equipment, too.
I hope you look forward to a lot of good fast food. We'll have a great time.
So you're giving up the Westwood One. You're getting a chance to stay home and jump back into the booth. It's a team, obviously, that you follow. I mean, for those people who are listening, Tony would be doing an NFL game somewhere for Westwood One. He'd be tweeting me because he'd see the score and he'd say, what's going on? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? So we'd be texting back and forth throughout the course of the game. So now you get to stay here and follow the team that you have followed all week long.
Yeah. You know, that part is it's with the franchise. It's, you know, it's in the city. It's being a part of that team and following it closely. And to have the opportunity to join you and Jeff and to be a part of the broadcast and travel the team, to be with the team, not just during the preseason here the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, but year-round. I can't be happier. My family's happy, obviously. I'll be home a little bit more. And just to be around this organization at this time, I think, is a lot of fun because I think it is a rebirth. I think the future is very, very bright under the new leadership of Dave and Gus, and I'm excited to be a part of that ride.
Well, and I, when you look at the big picture, The best part about this is, and I was just telling Jeff, is I remember watching you two guys square off against each other on the practice field in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Both of you have a deep sense of the history of this franchise, so I won't be, you know, the guy rambling on about this that happened in 1997 anymore. You can do that.
Yeah, I'll do that for you. We'll fill plenty of air. So, Brian, your job got a little bit more difficult than navigating us, me and Jeff, and probably have to play referee a few times during each game.
Yeah, well.
But it'll be a lot less words for you because we'll be eating up all the airtime. I got to go because I got to go spill some airtime up here. It was a big Jaguar rally, bunch of fans, great Jaguar fans out here. So getting ready to go on stage with Dave Caldwell, Jonathan Ciprian, and Josh Evans.
All right, well, go do your thing, and I just real quick before you go, I know one thing is that Pete Prisco will own you on Monday nights.
Oh, that'll be the easiest part. Me fighting with that idiot, I can put him in his place easy.
That's going to be more difficult for me to navigate than Sundays, for sure.
That will be tough.
As I told somebody, I'll either be stopping a fight or starting one.
I'm going to roll up a piece of newspaper. So I'm going to just start hitting people in the head.
All right, Tony, welcome. I know you're out of town next week. We'll see you in a couple.
I see you.
There's Tony Buscelli up in Nassau County, the newest member of our broadcast team. He'll be on Monday nights. He'll be on Thursday nights. And he'll be with Jeff and I in the broadcast booth. Except maybe in Indianapolis, because that is a small booth.
There's a couple of them that big boys, you know, he's going to have to make sure that, well, first and foremost, we're going to get Tony on a regularly scheduled workout routine so that he can fit in the booth.
Folks, you should expect this kind of back and forth every Sunday afternoon. And then
he's got an issue.
The team gets better.
He thinks because he's still in football, he still has to weigh what he did when he played.
So maybe we'll have a team run or something.
We got to get them into shape.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and get right to the OTAs. We'll talk about Tyson Alualu's move. We'll talk about the quarterback play. We'll talk about David Gardner retiring and obviously get thoughts from Jeff on his former teammate Jimmy Smith and his predicament in a Mississippi prison. All that and more as Jaguars This Week rolls along after this, Joe.
You got it, Brian. Hey, parents, now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. You know, it does have its advantages. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit. It includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, T-shirt, invite to exclusive Jaguars events, a birthday card from Jackson DeVille, and other really cool Jaguars merchandise. For more info, just visit jaguarskidsclub.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Fanatics.com. The Metro PCS call-in line is open 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL1.
You know, I promised football, but real quick, I do want to throw a shout-out to another new member of our broadcast team who I know you like a lot. I used to work with him on a full-time basis when I was at CBS 47. Brent Martineau is our new sideline reporter, obviously Cox Radio, Cox Television now, all in the same universe.
I thought I missed him, but I got him.
Yeah.
Said him.
Well, yeah.
Brent Saves a sideline guy. You're right.
Yeah, I just want to make, you know, that is literally, that is a fourth member of the broadcast
team.
And Brent is excellent.
Well, and really our fifth, but I wouldn't put him fifth in the pecking order, is J.P. Shadrick,
right,
who has done a wonderful job on Jaguars.com, has sat in with us here on this show.
And he'll be the update guy.
JP's going to be manning Jaguar Central. Yes, he'll give you the updates all day long.
He'll do a fantastic job.
He'll take care of halftime.
He's good at what he does.
And
very good at what he does.
All right. So there we go. New lineup. You can read about it at Jaguars.com, and obviously you'll start to experience as we get closer to the start of training camp. Let's go to the OTAs. I was out there Monday and Tuesday. I know you were out there today. Mm-hmm. I ask you this every year, but it always is germane, and that is, what is the true value of the OTAs for a football team? Is it to get in shape? Is it to learn the offense? Is it to learn how to practice? Is it to get the tempo down? What is Gus getting out of OTAs?
Well, he's trying to set a direction of how they're going to practice, how they're going to play, how they're going to go about their business. And the thing that certainly stands out is, even if you took the music away from it, it is a high-energy, up-tempo practice. There is no standing around. And you can tell that the players have bought in because they are hustling like I have not seen a football team hustle in a long time. And I love the way that they're doing it. You know, it's fun to watch. You know, I was out on the field today, and Mark Brunell's out there, Jeff Kopp, former linebacker for the Jaguars, and you know, both of them are high school area coaches, and both of them were talking about how impressed they were with the tempo and the style of coaching that Gus Bradley has brought here to this football team. So, you know, from another coach to another coach, paying the, you know, this coaching staff a compliment. It was impressive, and there's some guys that stood out. I really thought, to me, the first round draft pick Luke Jokel is everything as advertised. Bent knee, flat back, nice hands. Looks like he's played right tackle, and I know that there's no pads on, so you got to kind of take that with that understanding. But he has looked very good. And Jonathan Cyprian, range, communication abilities, and he's big.
You know, he since you say that, he looks like a guy who would play up towards the line of scrimmage. But when
he
I
looks,
was
you know what
there,
he looks like, Brian? He looks like a safety who's going to lose some money. You know what I mean by that? He's going to be hitting guys, and the league's going to be going, that's going to cost you some money there.
Well, his awareness was stood out to me, but he played deep. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen out here, it didn't look like he was going to be a box guy.
Back and forth.
Okay.
Back and forth, and I think it's just going to be depend upon motions, formations, to who's up. But I would think that they would like to get him more in the box as opposed to Dwight Lyre, but he's been impressive. You know, the young cornerbacks – Gratz, the kid from New Mexico State, both look like they've had, you know, good practice
over there.
Yeah,
and you mentioned the safety Josh Evans, also the kid from Florida,
had a nice play today, had an opportunity, had an interception, and didn't make it. But I mean, you got to say, hey, great job of being in the position to make that. And you know, Denard Robinson, you know, he seems to be playing all over the field. The one thing that really stands out is his speed. Because once he gets into the open field, it's all about athleticism and speed, and the guy's flat. He can flat out run. Shoelaces tied or untied, he can run.
Well, you know, the story today was that he took some snaps, you know, as a Wildcat quarterback, and Gus was asked the question, and Gus laughed and said, I don't have to answer that. But when you see him, the story on him was that he went to the Senior Bowl and didn't look good as a receiver. So he's a weapon. So you got to get the ball in his hands one way or another. That's why they obviously listed him as a running back, and it's that speed. So how do you get the ball in his hands?
Hand it to him.
You dump it off in short passes?
Short passes, hand it to him, screens, however it takes. You know, and the biggest one of the biggest questions with this football team right now and going into this season is going to be the health of Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, you just don't know how a foot is going to respond for a running back. That's just the way it is.
I'd like to see how it responds with about 20 pounds less.
Well, he's, you know,
he looks heavy right now.
He looks heavy, but I will say this. You know, Maurice has looked heavy in the past at this time of year. And then all of a sudden, once he gets into that summertime mode, and obviously he's not being able to run right now, I've never seen him come in to where you said, oh, geez, he still looks bigger than I'll get out.
No, he's a pro. He'll get ready to go. But I was alarmed when I saw him the other day. Now,
he was
living in a college dorm, freshman 15.
I'll go ahead and get this out there right now. The thing that alarmed me was Maurice's comments about Justin Blackmon. Very disappointed in what Maurice had to say about Justin Blackmon. When he came out and he thought that the media was out of control and that they were blowing this out of proportion about Justin Blackmon. And this is a quote that I think was disappointing. A lot of people make several mistakes. If you're that age and you have that amount of money, how would you act? Question mark. If you answer that question truthfully, you can go from there. Unquote. Are you kidding me? What's money got to do with it? It's got nothing to do with it. You got to be responsible. You got to be responsible to yourself, to your family, to your teammates. And obviously, Justin hasn't been that. Can he be that? Yes. But that was not the time nor the place for Maurice to make a comment, and certainly not those comments.
Well, I don't think he was considering just how much money Blackmon cost himself. And Maurice is, above all things, a businessman. Remember the holdout last year. He understands the value of money. If you think about it just from a financial standpoint, the decision, whatever it was, whatever he did, cost Justin guaranteed money. The Jaguars could cut him loose now.
Hey,
that makes it a bad decision.
Irregardless of the money, he got a DUI last year in which he blew up a .23, and thank God he didn't kill anybody behind the wheel. And then also, I mean, when you get up to .28, you know, and then the .3, you're talking, you could die.
Yeah.
I mean, hello?
Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine being .20, let alone .30. 0.36, I think.
I had to get that off my chest.
All right, good. Well, you're done with that.
I was disappointed in that.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about still. This is Jaguars This Week, and we announced tonight that its run is ending at some point in the next 2 months. We're not exactly sure where, but a very bright broadcast schedule ahead. Lots of great changes. Check them all out at Jaguars.com. You are listening to our new flagship, by the way, 104.5, 100,000 watts of Radio Fury. Joe?
All right, and thanks to everybody who's been calling and sharing their excitement about this, too. Ladies, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's women aged 18 and older. It's called the Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with, provide exclusive experiences for, and engage the Jags' female fans through updates, special offers, events, and other benefits. Need more info? Go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more info, visit jaguars.com or call 633-2000.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week, Brian Sexton and Jeff Loggeman. Big night here. We announced the changes to our radio broadcast team and our radio broadcast lineup. Obviously, goes hand-in-hand with what we're doing on 104.5 now and 100,000 watts of power reaching all over the place, including Nassau County, where Tony is this evening, and the Jaguars are having an event up there.
Yeah, we got one going on Saturday at Nocatee, which I'll be at with the head coach, Gus Bradley.
Cool, that'd be great.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
He is phenomenal in front of a group of people, and I guess David Caldwell is up at the Nassau County one because John Osher just tweeted, yes, that John Osher, quote, "We feel like we got the two best safeties in the draft." And we were just talking about how Cyprian and Evans were playing today on the practice field.
Yeah, I thought they had a real strong day. And the thing that really stood out to me was getting to see Cyprian in person was how big he was. I mean, he looks like, you know, back when you used to play the game in the 80s and the 90s and you had one clear-cut safety who was in the box player, and then you had one guy who was clearly a deep middle third guy. Cyprian looks like a classic box player, but, I mean, that's not just his limitation. I mean, he's got speed. I mean, this was a guy that many people thought was going to be a legitimate first-round pick and not available at the top of the second round. So it's going to be fun to watch him, and I'm sure there's going to be an adjustment period. I mean, you go from Florida International to the NFL, that's not a small jump.
You're right. A couple of other jumps. Let's talk about Tyson Alualu making the move out to defensive end. He was working there earlier in the week. Today, Gus Bradley was asked about it. Announced that he is definitely making the move. A couple of thoughts. One, the knee. You know a lot about microfracture. Now we're more than a year removed from it. How much better will his knee be, if at all? And how much better will he be in this open or the non-Leo end, right?
Right.
The tight end end.
Right.
I mean, they were talking about it today. How do you see him playing out there, and how is his knee?
Well, I don't think it's anything new for him to play defensive end because the Jaguars in the last couple of years when they went to a four-minute defense when the opponent had the lead and they were trying to run the ball or in the goal line and short yard situation, Tyson played defensive end. The one thing that I think is pretty clear to me and that knee is still not 100%. And if it's not 100% now, maybe it won't be ever. I think that he struggles at times taking on double teams. And I had a microfracture. I know what it's like to have a microfracture, and it is not a fun experience to have. Literally, when your range of motion gets to the point where you get that bone-on-bone contact, my knee flat out gives out. But fortunately, when I had the microfracture, it was in a range of motion that was noticeably lower in my range of motion, so it wasn't very often that I had that occur. Where I just the knee would give out. So I think it could be good for Tyson, but also because they've added a lot of big guys. You know, they've got the defensive tackle, Roy.
Roy Miller, has not practiced yet.
You know, and then they go and sign Dedrick.
Yeah,
from
Brandon
the
Dedrick.
Or not signed him, but claimed him off of waivers, right, from the New England Patriots.
Right.
You know, so they've got some beef in the middle. I think Jarius Pendleton is looking good. He's looking big. He's looking quick. You know, so, and you know, maybe this is this permanent? Is this an experimental thing? We don't know. I mean, they've had three OTAs, you know, so you don't know.
Right.
But if you have him to where he's cross-trained to where he can do both, And if you're always flipping the defensive ends, or you have a true Leo, which is a guy that's going to play in space and be more speed-oriented, then that means the other defensive end is going to be lined up on an offensive tackle. He's going to have to take on some double teams with a tight end, because the tight end, more times than not, is going to be lined up right next to him. And it may be a good fit for him.
All right, so Babin's going to be in that Leo role. So, too, is Andre Branch. And I noticed Monday and Tuesday out there that Todd Walsh, after almost every play that Branch was working, was right next to him. And I keep hearing that they like him. You know, he looks great. I mean, he looks like Tarzan out
he's
there.
He's got
right
a ways
now.
To go. I mean, he's got a lot to learn. You know, I thought last year that Andre Branch was, I don't want to say a disappointment, but I thought that he would achieve more last year. So if you want to call it disappointment, yeah, call it disappointment. I thought that at times last year that he didn't get better as the year went on. I didn't think that he played with bent knees. I thought he played high. I thought he was indecisive. And, you know, you remember coming out of the preseason, we were like, hey.
Yeah.
This guy
made a strong impression.
Yes, and then once you got to the regular season, besides the one play that he made, was it Indianapolis? I think he made a sack.
Yeah, pushing his way back.
You
into
know
the
that was kind of it. You know, so he's got a lot to prove. You know, and obviously, David Caldwell, I think, had him ranked pretty high and on his board when he was in Atlanta, or on their board. You know, so but he's
Does
got a lot to prove.
System fit him more based on what you've seen from him? Somebody told me that the system that they're running is more like the one he ran at Clemson.
Well, see, at Clemson, he was more of a stand-up slash hand-in-the-ground guy, which, yeah, it is more like the system what they're playing now, where you have one defensive end who's going to be flipping sides and standing up at times, dropping back into coverage at times. So, I mean, he's probably the guy that has more experience doing what they expect out of that Leo position.
And clearly they're hoping that he does become that, because that's a second-round pick.
Well, and it's a premium position.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that position in this defense is a premium position, and that's the guy that you want to have, or that position is where you want to have the talent at. So they're hoping that he can develop, and he's, like I said, he's got a lot of proof.
What's Mincy's role in this defense now? He got a big deal last year. Where does he fit?
Well, Mincy's going to probably be a guy that's going to be the other side defensive end, and then – maybe could play the Leo in certain situations and is going to be an outside rusher. But, you know, Brian, when you've got a new staff and a new general manager, I don't think any role is determined yet. I mean, just like with Tyson, will he stay at defensive end? Will he play both? You know, that could be also a possibility for Tyson. You know, when you get to game days, you've got 7, sometimes 8 defensive linemen, in rare cases 9. And so – guys have to cross-train. They can't just play one position. So that may be a situation for Tyson where he ends up playing both positions. Jeremy Mincy may be the same thing. Maybe he's a guy that plays left end, or the true left end, and then maybe some Leo, and then also maybe some down inside when they go to nickel.
You know, Buscelli said to me yesterday, he goes, where's Austin Lane in this thing? Where do you see Austin Lane? I mean, he's not that quick twitch guy. So is he over there on the other end?
Well, yeah, he's also kind of that natural left defensive end, and he's wasn't there. He's what, broadcast boot camp, I think, is what he's attending. But he's a big physical left end type of guy. Last year he played, I think, probably around the 265 range, and I always thought that he should weigh 275 because that's the kind of player he is. He's a physical player. He's a mauler.
Big, strong, strapping.
Yeah,
guy.
That's his game. I mean, his game, I don't, I mean.
You still see an upside for him, or is he what
you know,
he is?
I think there's still upside for him, but, you know, just like with Maurice's foot, Austin has had the foot injury, and anytime you're dealing with the feet and a professional athlete, that's a major concern.
All right, we've got much more to come. When we come back, we'll tell you about David Garrard walking away from the Jets today, and we'll touch on Jeff's former teammate and a guy that, boy, I used to love to talk to, Jimmy Smith, who is now spending his days in prison, as you may already know. That and more when Jaguars This Week concludes in our next segment. Joe?
All right, fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. Then you earn points every time you post something Jaguars. You can use those points to win some great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London that's happening in October. Jaguars This Week, final segment, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. Real easy. Rewards.jaguars.com. Brian?
All right. Well, they heard you loud and clear, and now you can hear News Talk WOKV loud and clear everywhere in Northeast Florida on the new, more powerful frequency, 104.5 FM. So make the switch today. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggam, and Joe Fortunato here. About 10 minutes left in the show. I want to read a quick tweet. Albert Breer from NFL Network, he nailed this. I was thinking this exact same thing, and he nailed it. Mm-hmm. Kind of amazing that for all the fuss he's caused over the last year, David Garrard was last in an NFL game 3 years ago. Hmm. Garrard today announcing that he is not going to be with the Jets, and there was something else that came across. Basically, he's retiring. He's walking away. His knee won't hold up. You know, he was cut almost 2 years ago here before the season began. Didn't play that year. Last year went to Miami. Didn't make that team. And then now, obviously, with the Jets adding Geno Smith, he's not going to be playing.
Well, I mean,
either.
tried to resume his career in two places that drafted a quarterback high. Yeah. That's just not very good. Yeah, I mean, whether the timing's off or the decision making by him and his agent, whatever. But you know, I wish him the best. You know, I've always liked David. I thought that he brought one really exceptionally good year here to this football team,
2007,
and then had some solid years. And you know, he's always been classy. The fedora I could have done without. You know, and the all of a sudden the way he changed, the way he dressed all of a sudden when he was the starting quarterback. I mean, come on. But anyway, you know, good for him, and he's, you know, he's got a great wife and family that he loves very much, and you know, possibly coming back to Jacksonville. And I saw that he'd like to retire a Jag. Well, he kind of has, you know, because he hadn't really played a game for another team.
Yeah, never played for the Dolphins or the Jets.
You know, that whole thing, retiring a Jaguar, I mean, you know, signing one-day contracts and that kind of thing, I mean, that's all cool and fine and great for PR, but, you know, I saw that the Cowboys had signed Gerald Sensabaugh to a one-day contract, and he retires. And I kind of read that, and I said, for what? You know, I mean, I could see it if it's, you know, when Ed Reed gets done playing for the Houston Texans, Ed Reed should go back and sign a contract with the Baltimore Ravens to retire as a Raven, because that's where
he's
Ed
Ring of
Reed
guy.
Made his name. He's a Ring of Honor guy. And anybody that is a potential Ring of Honor guy, that should be done. And the great players. But, I mean, was David a great player for the Jaguars? No, he was a good player. Gerald Sensabaugh, not a great player for the Cowboys, a good player. You know, so, kind of hot cold. But anyway, best of luck to David and his family.
All right, and then the more troubling story is that we learned this week that Jimmy Smith, who we all know about his
doesn't surprise me one bit
trouble with substance abuse, has been in prison since December 19th and was sentenced to 6 years for weapons and substance abuse charges, I guess, as a convicted felon.
And how did that fly under the radar?
It's funny. Jennifer said to me, hey, what's the deal with Jimmy Smith on Monday? And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, well, somebody at the office said to me about Jimmy, and I looked it up. Sure enough, there it is.
He's been in prison since the end of March.
Since the end of December.
December.
Since before Christmas.
Who? That it surprised me that we haven't heard about it, and but it doesn't surprise me that that's where he's at. The last couple of years that I was around Jimmy and saw him occasionally, he did not look like the Jimmy that I knew when he played. And obviously he had some issues even back then. But, you know, love Jimmy, love the player that he was, love what he was able to contribute to our football team. But Jimmy has a drug problem. I mean, clearly. And when he had that issue here, and I think it was 2009, where he got pulled over and had a suspended license,
yeah,
and then he had different types of drugs in the car, I said, man, he needs serious help. But, you know, he's an adult. He's a grown man. You can't force anybody to get help. But when he decided to move back to Mississippi, I said to myself, that's not good. He's not going to get better back in Mississippi. And, you know, I'm sad because I like Jimmy. I think Jimmy is a good person. He's got a serious problem. A serious problem.
Well, and the irony of it, if you want to call it that, was that on Tuesday, you know, the photos on Jacksonville.com, the newspaper site, the Times Union site, there was Jimmy with that horrible photo. I mean, he looks terrible. And then underneath it was Justin Blackman. And so, I mean, you want to talk about, hey, wake up call. Look what can happen.
Well, and it's you know, there's a lot of examples, and unfortunately, the examples kind of have been at that position. Chris Carter is a guy that had issues and was able to overcome them. I think even Urban Fryer was a guy who had some issues was able to overcome them. You know, so that position, for whatever reason, and I'm sure it's not just that position, but maybe it's the position that gets so much attention. But it is what it is, and I'm sad for Jimmy. I'm sad for his family. I'm sad for his wife, if she's still his wife, and his kids.
Right. Sandra had been with him through a lot of that, so don't know if she's still or not.
Don't know. And Jimmy Smith should be in the Jaguars' pride, the pride of the Jaguars. He was that type of player for this football team. He was arguably the best receiver in football while he played. You could make a case that he was in the top three in the game when he had his heyday here in Jacksonville.
Well, you know, there is a stretch where he and Keenan, over a six-year period, the only receivers, duo, that had more catches and more yardage over a six-year period in NFL history was Jerry Rice and John Taylor. I mean, they had that kind of run, and Jimmy carried it. I mean, nothing against Keenan, but, I mean, Jimmy was the man.
No, he was the big play guy. And, you know, I remember we had some fun, and was it last year when we did the greatest Jaguars in history?
Yeah.
Fred Taylor, Tony Boselli, Jimmy Smith. You know, and you could make the argument that those three guys could be jumbled up and come out in different orders. But, I mean, Jimmy's a guy that – should one day, once he gets himself, I'm a believer in that
forgiveness.
But once they get clean,
right?
But I also believe in that. You don't make the Hall of Fame, you don't make a Ring of Honor or the pride of the Jaguars if you have personal demons that you're dealing with. Those type of honors, I believe, should be reserved for guys that do it right, did it right as on the field, but. Not only on the field, but off the field as well.
Well, it's, you know, we're not likely to hear much about him over the next 6 years, so it will be interesting to see what does become of Jimmy if he can pull himself out.
Boy, it's
the photo in the newspaper was just,
you know,
sad.
And cocaine, which, you know, crack and cocaine have been in the arrest reports repeatedly for him, and that's a bad road to be on.
All right, so we are just about out of time. Let's end on a positive note. There's still 10 more days of OTAs and mini camp, so a lot of time for Gus and his coaching staff to get this team rolling.
Yeah, and the one thing that, you know, I want to see is I want to start to see that quarterback position start to define itself. I thought that according to you and other people that were there the first 2 days and today with my own set of eyes, it was up and down. And, you know, hey, look, there's a lot of new faces, and not a lot of new players,
third
a new system. You know, so you expect to see that at this point in time. It's only been the third day. But you want to see that start to define. Right now they're getting equal reps with Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert. But you want to see somebody jump out front and clearly show that they're the guy to lead this football team for this year.
All right. Logs, thanks so much. Appreciate it. See you next week. And welcome to Tony Boselli and Brett Martineau and our new broadcast lineup, which you will hear more about in the coming days and weeks. Thanks to Joe Fortunato. Have a great night, everybody.